Welcome to Uncharted Entrepreneurship, your front row seat to daring stories from the boldest business trailblazers forging new paths across industries. I'm your host, Brent Peterson, armed with inside access, sitting down with partners, founders, and CEOs in the entrepreneurial world. Let's explore. This May 9th, 2024, ignite your entrepreneurial spirit at the Entrepreneurs Rally, a day where vision meets action in the heart of Minnesota. Join us at the JW Marriott for an unparalleled gathering of minds. Witness NBA legend and business maven Bill Walton share his journey from the basketball court to the boardroom. Be inspired by Candace Mama, Vogue Paris' most inspiring woman, as she unpacks the power of forgiveness and leadership. From the opening coffee to the closing VIP reception, the Entrepreneurs Rally is your arena to connect, learn, and grow. With over 500 entrepreneurs, industry leaders, and experts, it's more than an event. It's a catalyst for your next big leap. Whether you're looking to deepen your knowledge in sales, finance, marketing, or operations, or to ignite your passion and meet like-minded individuals, this is where your journey accelerates. Don't miss out on this extraordinary learning, networking, and inspiration day. Reserve your spot now for the Entrepreneurs Rally. Go to entrepreneursrally.org. The Entrepreneurs Rally. This May 9th, 2024, at the Mall of America. That's entrepreneursrally.org, where dreams meet drive. See you there.
All right, welcome to this episode of Uncharted Entrepreneurship. Today I have Bobby Lee Hartman. She is the founder of Lodged Out. Bobby Lee, go ahead, do an introduction for yourself. Tell us your day-to-day role and maybe one of your passions in life.
So my name is Bobby Lee Hartman. I'm originally from Victoria, Minnesota. So that's how I found out about EO Minnesota chapter. And I now live in Seattle, and I've been running Lodged Out. Originally, I started running events in this type of fashion in 2014, but I didn't start Lodged Out till 2017. And I could talk more about that role in a bit, but one of my passions in life would be trail running, which has led me to move to Seattle, doing more mountain running and elevation and gain, and backcountry skiing.
That's awesome. Thank you. So before we get into trail running and UTMB and things like that. Wait, no, this is about entrepreneurship. Sorry. Making a joke. I'm going to tell you a joke. It's not going to be as funny as the one I just said. But all you have to do is say, should this joke be free? Or do you think at some point we can charge for it? Okay. Is this a road racing joke or a trail joke? Anyways, I'm stretching. Here we go. I'm just going to tell the joke. I walk into a bookstore. I asked, do you have any books on turtles? The worker says, hardback? And I say, yeah, with little heads.
Yes, I think you should pay for that joke.
Well, all right, good. Yeah, I think you're number 6 out of 200 and some for the free joke project. Okay. Thank you. All right, good.
Okay, yeah.
Bobby Lee, tell us a little bit about, I'm interested in the trail running. So tell us, are you yeah. professional?
No, but I like to follow the professionals in the area and, do the routes that they're doing and learning a little bit more about the terrain that I find it to be fun that they're doing similar terrain that I am. And so I try to see what the Strava, you know, what they're doing on Strava, and then I'll try to beat it, or I just have fun in that way. Versus being racing a bunch. I kind of raced a little bit when I was younger, and I got kind of emotionally made me just feel not as connected to the sport, and it just made me shut down and not do as well. But when I'm out there in the wild and just running and competing on my own terms, I found to, just do some really fast times and just get really into it and get excited about it again. So, yeah.
Have you thought about doing the Arrowhead 135?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's across northern Minnesota, and it's in January.
Oh, really?
Typically, have temperatures of minus 20, and it's unsupported. So,
oh my gosh, wow! I've thought of trying to compete in Europe and doing UMTB, the shorter races. I like shorter and steep. That's kind of how I train. So, I don't know if I'll become an ultra runner, and I think that's what's pushed me away also from racing because I love trail running, but I don't know if I want to push my body to the extent that some of these athletes are in these really long distance races. But I like short races, you know, half marathons or less on the train, on the trails. And yeah, so there's shorter distances I've now found that UMTB has. So I'm excited maybe to try and compete in one sometime.
That's awesome. So I'm in Hawaii and all it is hills here. So our run on Saturday was 16 miles of 8 miles up and 8 miles down. Anyways, this is not a running podcast, so let's talk about Lodged Out a little bit. Tell us how you got into it. Tell us what it is and how you got into it.
So Lodged Out has changed over the years, but in its current phase that it's in, for the last 3 years, it's been running offsites for companies, running offsites for entrepreneurs, leadership teams. So anything where I'm not selling the tickets and I'm not marketing it, you're bringing the people and I'm helping you facilitate, you know, the venue, transportation, food, finding unique venues that are summer unplugged. That's where Lodged Out came from, was having these offsites that are no cell reception, no Wi-Fi. But, you know, with businesses, everyone typically needs some form of being plugged in, right? So I've found to what I bring there instead is a super beautiful location that's relaxing, just well-designed, finding interesting boutique hotels that are smaller depending on the size of group, or finding Airbnbs that are in a beautiful setting that are styled in a beautiful way. That's kind of how I've shifted things. But it started way back in 2014. I was going to tech conferences all the time and I was finding people were not really connecting with anyone during the day, during the talks. They were kind of on their computer, they're on their phones, looking down, not even really listening. Companies are spending, you know, thousands of dollars to send their employees there. And I felt that the impact was not, the return on investment I didn't find to be pretty that impactful. But what I did find impactful were going to Q&As or panels or going to the happy hours, going to some of the fireside chats, just the smaller setting environments where people were talking more and engaging more with the content. So and at the time I had, you know, grown up going to summer camps. I had grown up going to trail running, and I just found the outdoors to be, just totally part of my life and something I couldn't do as much while I was at these conferences away from my my home. And so I don't know, I just was thinking about the two of them together, and I always thought, you know, I always had these big projects I wanted to do or these side projects. And I always thought, hey, if we could all just get together and that was our only focus, that this whole week, we're just going to spend time on these side projects. That was kind of the first spark of an idea that I had, was just, if I could just get away and not be distracted by these other things I have to do in my life, I could just finish some of these side projects. And I would talk about it with friends and they're like, yeah, that sounds like that's totally something I would love to do too. Or learn a new programming language. There was this stuff like that was kind of going on in my community. And so I started talking about it a lot with others, just at conferences and meetups. And I had learned about this group in Australia that had started a a summer camp conference, basically. So there was normal talks and there was normal, it was an unconference, if you will, at summer camps. And so they said, why don't you just create the US version of that? So that's kind of how I started. I just met them and I was thought about it for a couple weeks after I met them. And then I was like, yeah, I'll just start the US version of this event. And so that event is called Rails Camp and I still run that event and I sell tickets to it and I promote it, do the marketing, everything. I own all of it. So as I was doing that, it started in 2014. As I was doing that, I found, you know, a lot of my friends aren't software engineers, but they like what I'm doing and they'd love to go to my events, but they just don't find that this is the enthusiast group that they are a part of. So through that time and through just talking to more people, I thought I need to make an umbrella brand around this concept that I've created and this community that I've curated. So I'm going to call that Lodged Out. And so that was in 2017. And I when it first started, I was running, I was selling tickets to events. I was promoting events for different enthusiast groups. So the first one was for makers. So people, if you think like Etsy, making things and designers. And then I made it for trail runners, lawyers, entrepreneurs, and then some companies I was doing custom events for. So that was all about, you know, before COVID and charging more for these events, more, you know, nicer venues. They were no longer at summer camps. They were at lodges, boutique hotels. And through that time, I found, again, that maybe I want to do more custom. So I don't want to, I'm busy. I also was working full time as a software engineer. I forgot to mention this was all kind of a side project for me, honestly, in those years. And so during that time, I didn't have a lot of bandwidth. So I thought I'll just do custom and focus on custom events and find my own clients and they'll bring the people. So I just have to focus on what I really love, which is finding these venues, curating the whole experience, designing the agenda, making it not too packed so people had time to connect and think and have time for themselves at events as well, which I found that missing in a lot of events I was going to. And that's kind of where it's at now. So that's around right before COVID and after COVID. Since COVID, it's been in the form that it is now, which is the custom events, offsites, and sizes of people. You know, I've done 5 to 150. So, and that's about the size that I think it's a good fit for due to the impact I'm trying to have, which is like building connection and in a beautiful setting. And when you get a little bit more than 100 people, you have to spread them out to 2 hotels, and they're not typically as boutique anymore. They're a lot, quite larger. And yeah, so that's kind of the style that it, the form that it's in now. And they're all over the US and some in Italy as well.
Wow, nice. Have you found that entrepreneurs particularly are hard to, I guess, first get them to just turn in their electronics, and then secondly, to turn off and do kind of the things that you have prescribed them that they could or should be doing for that retreat?
Yeah. So some of the retreats have been fully off grid where they actually cannot use their, there's no cell reception, and I tell the venue to turn off the Wi-Fi. So if that's the style that they want it in, then they really don't have a choice. So, and it's been so impactful. The testimonials after those events is just, it's something people have never even done or thought that much about the impact that it could have. So it wasn't like I had to fight them to take, to shut down. They actually had to. So when it's in a setting where there is cell reception and Wi-Fi, there's it's different because it can depend on what the client wants. They might want to have meetings where they need to have their computers out. They need to have be connected. Or is it a culture-based offsite where they're just all hanging out and there's kind of the agenda is designed for activities where they're using their hands or they're it just doesn't really make sense for them to be all just sitting at a table on their phones. They'll do that in their own cabins and their rooms, of course, but the agenda is designed in a way that they're thinking less about being on technology because their mind is being used in different ways and they, you know, they're not using it for a distraction. And if the energy in the way that I introduce the event when I get there, I present it as, you know, this is up to you. You can do what you want, but this is an opportunity for you to see what it feels like to just put your phone in airplane mode. Or I'll tell them that there is no cell reception at the venue and they have to expect that. So they prepare their life. They prepare before they get there. You know, they put on vacation mode or they'll tell their family, you know, here's the emergency number to the venue. All of that is kind of prepared so that when they get there and they realize it works, it's they're like, well, I'm already prepared to be offline. Right. So sometimes I've done that, you know, for smaller events. But yeah, it just depends. A lot of people definitely don't want to, I've given throwaway cameras and stuff like that so they don't have to take photos with their phone. Or I'll have a photographer there so they don't have to take as many photos. But you know, they don't usually want to actually give me their phone. That's never really been a thing. So yeah, it's usually like if it's not there, then they just can't use it.
How about movement? I know that, and I've been in a lot of tech conferences, and we actually started a race before one of the conferences because
it seems
like developers are very sedentary. They don't like to get out of their chair and move. And I'm a big believer in movement, you know, especially before an event, but even during the event, we'll organize some runs and things like that. Tell us a little bit about how maybe you help with not just the mental part of it, but there's also a physical part of that as well, like a retreat.
Yep. Yeah. So it's funny you say that because I started to notice that some of the Ruby on Rails conferences, there were 5Ks. There were a lot of 5Ks happening, and I loved that. So that's kind of also what gave me the inspiration of adding it or having the being at summer camps. They always provide activities. So yeah, I curate activities for people that are, at first I kind of ask the client, do you want to be on a lake? Do you want to be near trails that you can just walk to from the property? I design things in that way if that's kind of what the group might be interested in. So curating different activities and stuff that's off campus, I'll find parks to go to or hikes that are nearby you can drive to. A lot of movement's always built in because they are outdoorsy events typically. So if it's on a lake, making sure that there's kayaks or stand-up paddle boards, fly fishing guides. I've done ice fishing guides, cross-country skiing. There's been these places in upstate New York I love to bring people that are made for cross-country skiing, and they have trails on the property. A lot of things in mind are built into the agendas if they're interested in that. And I was just talking to a client recently, and they wanted to do meditation before certain things. I know it's not like moving your body, but it's definitely like mind-body wellness built into the events, because a lot of people, a lot of clients aren't just there to talk business. They're wanting to kind of create a unique culture mixed with business. So that's where some of the ideas for activities I've done, like Beach Olympics, if it's on the beach, pickleball tournaments, stuff like that is kind of the fun you can have with these.
One of the things that we do as a forum group in EO, we have forums with small groups that we meet every month, and then we go on a retreat every year. We typically bring in a facilitator who would help us do some, like maybe we'll do a half day or a full day of learning about something, and a facilitator would help do that. Do you provide the facilitator, or are you the facilitator? Tell us a little bit about how some of those events are facilitated.
Yeah, so I've definitely done a lot of bringing in speakers. So if they want a fireside chat at night or an inspirational talk, that could be in the evenings. During the day, if they need a facilitator, it depends on what the client is interested. If they're trying to learn a specific thing, like everyone at this group or everyone that's here needs to learn XYZ, maybe it's JavaScript or something like that. Definitely curated and brought in different guides for specific something that they're learning. If it's just moderating something, it depends on the size of the group. If there's someone moderating, like you go in this room, it's typically what I would do by curating the agenda. But if it's guiding conversations, let's say it could be a therapeutic conversation or a cultural shift that's happening within the company and guiding some of that, I've definitely provided outside people for guiding conversations. Sometimes people have someone in mind already, and I'll curate their travel and figure out where they're, they'll probably stay at the venue. And if they don't want to, I'll find something nearby. So coordinating with them or finding it is something that I've done for different types of clients, and depending on what they're interested in learning or facilitating.
What do you see the biggest challenge in getting entrepreneurs together and helping them to, I guess, and it doesn't have to be entrepreneurs, but what is the biggest challenge that you've had with people in trying to organize these smaller events and making them intimate and helping them to kind of disconnect and do different things?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. I guess in the planning, the challenge, or like actually after it's planned, getting them there.
Yeah, just what do you think is the hardest part about getting maybe entrepreneurs to do what they normally don't do? Is that a big challenge?
It actually, you know, I would say some of the challenges people, I would say most of the people that have come are actually excited because it is different than any other event that they've maybe already been to with their company, or they're just paying to go themselves, right? So they're just, I think it just actually curates the perfect group on its own sometimes, because there it's a little bit of a different experience that someone is already kind of seeking something that's different. So they go along with, how we're connecting and being at a table, and like people are actually talking and they're not looking at their phone, or they're just doing some part of those. I've had like I brought someone in Montana that was swing dance instructors. So everybody was doing just something that they're totally not normally comfortable with. And I was like, just do it. It's funny. And like, just grab a beer. And like, it's just funny. And I think I have this approach that's very open, and I like to try all these kinds of different activities, even though they're just like fly fishing is something that people have never really done. And I found that people are connecting in a way that they're all new to some of these things. So they all just kind of connect together, and especially in a smaller setting, they bond in. The biggest thing I notice at these events is they're bonding in different ways because they're disconnected typically, and they're doing stuff that they don't normally do at all in life. And so it's just a funny experience. So you see people open up a lot faster and get close to one another quite a bit faster in just 2 days or 3 days than they have with any other strangers they've maybe met before, for example, because they're just in an environment that's so different. There's fun examples. But I'd say the challenging thing is sometimes I brought speakers in before, and they kind of just come and talk, and they go in their rooms, and they don't communicate with the group, and that can cause kind of a disconnect, you know, because it's like, we're not all in this together anymore. Well, why are they in their room thinking that this is fun? Like, you know, so I have had challenges with that. So you kind of have to figure out, find these speakers that want to be there and want to be part of it, versus hiring someone that's very famous and bringing them in, and they're not part of the, they're not part of what is cool about the magic of the event. So, but I haven't seen a lot of things where, you know, if I love going to the event, specifically if it's larger than eight, for example, going to it and seeing if someone's sitting in the corner or not talking as much, or they don't feel as extroverted as some of the others. So I kind of create agendas that there's a lot of spaces for people to, you know, if you don't want to be around everybody all the time, especially if there's shared lodging at some of the bigger events. Yeah, just kind of creating spaces where people have their alone time mixed in. I've learned that through design of a venue, the layout of a venue, I can kind of figure out if this is a good venue or not, depending on the spaces that it's the way it's designed, making sure there's separate rooms for specific things, a quiet room and a louder room if people want to do karaoke at night or something that's louder. Yeah, so those are all things I have kind of in mind, depending on the, I know that there's different types of people. I have puzzles that are out, that are on tables, you know, when people get there, if they don't feel comfortable, they can just sit at a table and maybe play a puzzle with someone. I've seen a lot of these things that kind of mix into my events due to the different types of people that I know are coming to them. Yeah, so I'd say the challenge is kind of, they were early in my days of starting these, and now I've realized that, what to do with those types of environments.
You mentioned unconference in the beginning, and some people may not know what that is, but do you find that sometimes in an unconference, it does lead to a little bit more creativity in what happens in the event, and maybe you as a facilitator can help them come up with some things or topics that they would do during the unconference?
Yeah. Yeah. I love having unconference because again, it's just so much more engaging. People are actually thinking and they're allowing other, and the facilitator is good because there's some people that would speak over others or put more ideas than others. So that's kind of good to have a facilitator there, but the creative energy that comes from unconferences versus, and also there's some people that would never want to say, hey, I want to speak and tell me they want to speak. So I have a set agenda at a conference. You know, there's this, people are, you know, maybe don't feel that they're worthy of some sort of thoughts that they have or ideas that they have, right? So Gun Conference has been good for that too, is there's new ideas that people would not normally share, but they feel comfortable because there's just casual ideas that are up there maybe, and not such, I know this, you know, like you're an expert in this one thing, but you might not be, you know, and I've had people think of things like, hey, I'd like to teach everybody how to make like maple bacon or something. You know, it's like something that's so unrelated to what you would think at a tech environment, you know? So there's cool stuff that comes of it from that too, that I just didn't even expect. So, and it's interesting because it's kind of going along with when I was talking to Jeff in one of the forums, Jeff Lynn, he was saying, you know, we're not just here to talk about business ideas all day, every day. We're trying to become better founders or better human beings with our families or with our friends. There's better people overall. So I think it's kind of a cool idea having some of those other ideas mixed in, because it is interesting to learn about different things or books people are reading I just think that's kind of what drew me to some of wanting to help with some of these forums, because I found that that's kind of the style that these are already being designed in.
We have a few minutes left. Tell us maybe your favorite locations or your most memorable experiences you've had for doing offsite retreats.
Yeah. So actually it was in Minnesota. I got an email once from someone completely random saying that I have this venue that I think perfect for your offsites, and it's in upstate New York, and I think you should just come and see it. And so that was probably the most memorable trip I've ever had in running all of these. And I've run events at it since. It was in this tucked away old historic lodge it's run by a university now, and they don't really rent it to the public unless there's learning involved. So you can't have a wedding there. You can't have any typical large random event. It's very specific who they let in. And when I toured it, it's on a lake, and they have all their different boats, and you can go throughout the day, do what you want. There's hiking on property, and everything is owned by, it's one of the Great Camps, which is a famous, I don't know how many Great Camps there are, but they're all from the large families of Vanderbilts. And I can't think of all the different families, like old money families, and they own these lodges in upstate New York and in the out east. Yeah, I just got to tour it, and there's a chef that's there that lives there. So there's a large area for, group meals, and all the rooms have these historic bedding and walls and furniture and everything about it. There's so much history. There's old bowling alley that's there. And in the back of the property, there's another hidden place that they don't rent to anyone. It's just for families now, but it's another beautiful venue that's just, it's as if you step back in time, and these old little restaurants. It reminds me of the Boundary Waters up in that area, Minnesota Boundary Waters. And there's these old little fishing little stops where you can go, you can buy your bait and get sandwiches. And it just has this totally old Minnesota charm to this whole area. And it just was I can't even describe it. It's just this tucked away on its own private lake. And that's kind of the exact experience that I'd love for everyone to have at some point in a lodged out, is to bring them to these private lake, private experiences where you're tucked away, and there's no cell reception, and you're totally immersed in nature, but you're also in a cozy place. And there's something about, I really love finding venues when there's not any shared property lines with another property. So it's either just the woods, or maybe there's like a national forest next to it, where you don't really see anyone else but the group that you came with. And I think that's kind of when I started to really see the power in that. And so that's kind of the venues I try to choose. If a client is open to that, some like to be near a town, they can walk to restaurants and everything. But if they really wanted to do the special secret that's out there, there's these really beautiful venues that have that experience where you're totally just immersed with this group. And so that's kind of one of my favorite venues ever. I think they've had some photo shoots there with Vogue and different stuff like that, but it's pretty off the grid and pretty secret. And it's just one of my favorite experiences, was kind of getting someone who's from Minnesota find me and knowing this would be a cool experience. And then it happened to be in New York. So yeah, that was just one of my favorite experiences.
Awesome. So as we close out the podcast, I give guests a chance, Bobby Lee, to do a shameless plug about anything you'd like. What would you like to plug today?
Yeah, I guess I'd love to, if anyone is interested in working with me for their EO retreats and help. I can help you find different Airbnbs, as I think that's the best style for the size of groups, or small boutique hotels where everyone has their own cabin, and then a big, you know, a nice meeting space everyone can hang out. That's kind of what my goal is, to work on more EO forums this year, and helping with any catering or private chef or restaurants that you'd like to go to if you want to be near a town. But yeah, if anyone's looking for some interesting and more boutique experience and doesn't have time to work on it, I'm here to help.
And tell us how they get a hold of you.
Yeah, they get a hold of me. So lodgedout.com or my email, I can put in the description, but it's bobbylee@lodgedout.com. And then, yeah, that's how we can start working on the bid. There's also a form on the lodgedout.com/offsites, the offsites page. There's a form you can fill out that asks a few questions about, you know, how many nights, how many people, dates they have in mind, or location you might. If you don't have location in mind, that's okay. I have locations that I've used and different vendors and partners that I work with all the time. So, yeah.
Perfect. And I'll make sure I get all those on the show notes for the episode. Last thing, did you know that the Kaiser Chiefs, their first website was on Ruby on Rails, and the song that they wrote,
oh, really?
Ruby, 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 was about their website?
Oh, my God. Really?
I'm completely joking, but it seemed appropriate at the time.
Okay.
Because they never said Rails, right? It's just about a person, not about the programming language.
Got it.
Sorry.
Ruby, yeah. No, Ruby is language too. So I was like, oh, maybe. I mean, obviously Ruby is built, Rails is built on Ruby. Yeah.
Right. All right. Sorry about that.
Yeah.
Everybody else is going to go, what is he talking about? Bobby Lee, it's been such a great conversation. Thank you so much for being here today. And I'll make sure we get all this in the show notes. And thank you.
Great. Yeah. Thanks so much.
Uncharted Entrepreneurship is a production of Content Basis LLC. Copyright 2023. You can find more award-winning content at contentbasis.io. And that wraps up the latest edition of Uncharted Entrepreneurship: Bold Tales from Entrepreneurial Trailblazers. I'm your host, Brent Peterson, signing off after an incredible fireside chat with one of our intrepid trailblazing guests. Their firsthand perspective on conquering the unexplored wilds of business is just a taste of the rare wisdom you'll discover from pioneering entrepreneurs on this show. I also invite you to join me each week for insider commentary on the startup scene and digital marketing landscape on my Talk Commerce podcast. You can find Talk Commerce wherever you download podcasts or go to talk-commerce.com. I'd be grateful if you left a review and rating for Uncharted Entrepreneurship to help more bold founders find their way to game-changing insights that empower ventures to transform communities. This is your host, Brent Peterson, signing off for now. I'll see you around the virtual campfire next episode as we embark on another adventure into the great entrepreneurial unknown.